Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, it's Mary Lurson. I'm Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this episode of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation. And also, we're coming to you live from the NAMM show here in Anaheim, California, for this wonderful conversation I'm going to be having with members of the Historic Black College and University, HBCU, Band Directors Consortium. Welcome. Three wonderful music professors from campuses around the country. Let's just go down the line. Tell us your name, your campus, where you're from.
Okay. My name is Thomas Warner, Jr. Currently serve as Assistant Director of Bands at North Carolina A&T State University. Also serve as a music lecturer within the music department as well.
Great. Welcome to the NAMM show.
And I'm Professor Roxanne Stevenson. I'm the Director of Bands at Chicago State University. And I am also over music education and our new program called Gospel Music.
Fantastic. We have House of Worship concert tonight.
I saw that.
Yeah, tonight. Great.
I'm Al Davis. I'm a Director of Bands and Assistant Professor of Music at St. Augustine's University in Raleigh, North Carolina. I conduct the marching concert and basketball bands there.
We're so thrilled to have you here at the NAMM show. Is this your first time?
Yeah, my first time.
Yeah, mine as well.
Yeah, since the 80s when it was in Chicago.
Oh, you need a catching up to do. Yeah. We're so grateful that you're here. We met in Chicago just recently.
Yes.
Tell us about your organization, the HBCU Band Directors Consortium.
In a nutshell, the HBCU Band Directors Consortium is a collaboration of historically black colleges and universities. Basically, we come together every year. We meet in Atlanta, Georgia.
You have a conference in March?
March. Yes. It'll be March 27th through 31st. So basically to come together to collaborate on ideas, to help specific areas of music education and performance and research at our HBCUs. And we also come together, we do all-star groups. We have a concert, symphonic band, jazz band. And in the last 2 years or so, we've incorporated a director's band. So this is directors and one of our most experienced conductors and band directors emeritus that serves on that in that position as one of our conductors. So we just come together and we're trying to collaborate and actually just find opportunities that are going to help our students to thrive and that are unique to our situations at historically black colleges and universities.
Tell us more about your music departments. At your campuses. I'd just love to hear more about.
I'll start because we probably have the smallest one. We're a very small private liberal arts university at St. Aug, about 800 students. So the department is small, and we're looking to, right now we just have a BA in music, and we're actually in myself and the music coordinator, Dr. Harold Jeffers, we're in the process of writing a proposal of bringing back music education. They had it a long time ago, but now bringing back music education as a major at St. Aug. Hopefully, we'll be looking to grow. We're not as large as some of the others, as Thomas will elaborate at A&T and what Roxanne has going on with three performances at the Midwest with her jazz band. So.
Right. Yeah.
But nonetheless, I mean, liberal arts colleges are so important.
Yes, they are.
And it's also been, kind of part of the HBCU experience, right?
Yes, it has.
Smaller environments. Mm. But I still bet you've got some wonderful musicians performing.
Yes, we do.
Right,
yes.
Our school is slightly different from the rest. We are more of a predominantly black university and one of the oldest universities in the state of Illinois. We have more students that are not staying on campus than we do that stay on campus. So we are non-traditional. So we service a different clientele. Many of our students are older. So I like to say you can change the life of a child by giving them an education. But at Chicago State, we can change the life of an entire family by educating the father, or educating the parents. And so we have a 100% job placement rate. All of our students, when they graduate, there's a job waiting for them, regardless of what they want to do. So we have four concentrations in our music department. We have a concentration in music, and then in music technology. Mm-hmm. And gospel music is the newest. As a matter of fact, it really starts in the fall. We started one of the ensembles this semester, but the major starts in the fall. And then we have music education, but Chicago State University was known as the Chicago Teachers College.
Oh, and that tradition of training teachers. Right.
Directly. So we are known for training teachers.
Wow, and
terrific. We do a really, really good job of that. So this year, now this is my 27th year there. So my jazz band has played, you know, the Jazz Education Network Conference, the Midwest Band mm-hmm. Festival, and other festivals. But this year we have a new president again, and we'll be starting a marching band, and this will be the first that there's been a marching band. When I came 27 years ago, it was because they loved my marching band, and but it took 27 years to finally. For them to understand what it would take.
And we know that the HBCU community is known for really phenomenal marching bands, right?
As you
look across sort of the spectrum of all those campuses, there's some that have just, we all can name them once, right?
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So, well, that's remarkable that you're going to be bringing that tradition back.
Yeah, well, Chicago State has never had a marching band.
Okay.
But see, we're north, and it's not, the tradition is really a southern tradition, mm-hmm. but I did go to Bethune-Cookman University, so I do have to put that out there.
Yeah.
Which it's almost 10% of the total school population is in the marching band.
Yes. Right. That's amazing. How about what's happening at your campus, music department?
We do a lot at North Carolina A&T. And I will say I'm a product, for my bachelor's degree, I'm a product of a small liberal arts school, Morris Brown College as well. So that intimacy is very important
as far as the
HBC community. But at North Carolina A&T, we're currently kind of happy right now. We have a popular vote that just happened as far as HBCUs. We were just nominated number one marching band in the country. We do a lot when it comes to the marching band and our students. We really push them and we support them, and we are absolutely grateful for them. So just want to put that out there. Maybe like 2 days ago, maybe a day or so ago, it was between us and the last two finalists, our school and Jackson State University. And phenomenal programs. And we have phenomenal HBC band programs. Aside from that, in the spring semester, we have two large ensembles, technically three. We have a wind ensemble, which I'm the conductor over, our symphonic band, and then we have our stage band. And then we have several small chamber ensembles for every instrument, flute, clarinet, mm-hmm. saxophone, trumpet, horn, trombone, tuba, euphonium, percussion. So we do a lot. And our thing is, if you want to participate in the marching band, you must participate in at least one of the large ensembles. And some students do maybe two or three, but definitely you have to be a part of a spring ensemble to enhance your musicality.
So you grow musically.
We grow musically.
Right.
And it's a lot of work. Although, just compared to some schools, their funding is one of our biggest things. Scholarship dollars to bring students in. It depends on the out-of-state fees and in-state fees. We're one of the institutions that we don't have the scholarship dollars, but we have students that they absolutely want to be there. So we give them these opportunities just so that they know it's not just a focus on just marching band. You have to help yourself, and we will definitely help the students as well to grow mm-hmm. musically. So we have these spring ensembles. And in addition to that, we have our pep band. So
I haven't been on your campuses. I've been on a few HBCU campuses, but there's just a wonderful musical energy on HBCU campuses.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's just a lot. There's formal music, mm-hmm. In your class, but then there's informal music too, and there's bands and creativity and.
Well, not only bands. I come from a quote unquote choir school, being Hampton University, and being under the baton of one of the great African American composers and conductors of all time, Roland Carter.
Mm-hmm.
His Left Every Voice is the one that every choir does.
Yeah.
And having been on five choir tours with him when I was an undergrad, and he brought a brass ensemble with him. So we used to travel with the choir, with the concert choir, and those experiences you just don't get. I like to tell my students that you never know at HBCU what type of experience you might get. One of the choir tours we did Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Maya Angelou, who used to come to Hampton all the time to speak for the student leader inauguration, after the concert invited us to her home for dinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the types of experiences you don't get every day.
Right.
And,
yeah. Through music.
And through music.
Through your musical training.
Through music.
Right.
And yeah. Through music.
Well, I think it's because of our great respect for the tradition of HBCUs and the commitment to musical excellence. Mm-hmm. We really have wanted to forge a closer partnership with the Band Director Consortium. Your group of music professors that are on your campuses, because we have a Gen Next program. Our Gen Next Absolutely. Program is, we have 2,500 college music students here this mm-hmm. year, right. And their professors today and tomorrow, they're going through sessions about college to career, building resumes, finding internships. How do you connect to producers? And we said, our big gap here is the great talent on your campuses don't know about our program.
Right.
We want to build this, and we're kind of putting a marker out there, and we're kind of telling the world, we want to see how this can go and how. I mean, you haven't immersed too quick. You just said you just got from the airport, so you haven't completely immersed in the NAMM show yet.
No, we haven't, not yet.
But, it was interesting walking in, seeing everything.
I mean, what are you anticipating that, knowing that we have those many kids here now, what I would be interested in, let's say I'm an old teacher, right? Let's use this as sort of a syllabus here. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe we can report on with an update on our website later about what do you think you need to learn about in terms of to go back and be able to talk to your kids about maybe this is an important experience for them? What do you hope to learn?
Well, definitely the career opportunities, because most times we're pushing the music education side.
And which gratefully, there's more opportunities for them now.
Right, exactly.
It's a pretty wide open field, gratefully, right?
So definitely the variety of career opportunities for them. Specifically, I know at North Carolina A&T, we've had a lot of students that have expressed an interest not only in music education, but they want to see the audiovisual side of things and the music technology side. And these are things that we deal with on a pretty regular basis, but I had no idea that it was so vast here at the NAMM conference. So we definitely want to be able to give all the students that are connected with HBCUs just more opportunities, more career opportunities, just so they can be happy in their field and definitely gainfully employed.
We deal with through the College Music Society, which is, maybe you're members of that in terms of your roles, is a service organization for college music faculty and deans and assistant deans. And they're feeling that on their campuses, they have a sharper feeling of needing to really help their students with those career options.
Absolutely.
I think in the day, right, there was a sense of, you're kind of figuring it out. There's just that path. But now kids are really, these educations are expensive.
Yeah.
And families are investing a lot, and students, and they're saying, okay, campus, how are you going to help our students take not just the music education step, which is a little more concrete now.
Right.
Right.
But all these other creative things that they want to do, and they have the capacity to do.
Go ahead, Roxanne.
No, I was going to say, we take our students to as many of the conferences as possible.
Right.
But now NAMM is on our radar, because I never thought about, really making sure that we hone in on that side of it, because we get so many students being in Chicago who really are performing. I have students who are touring, performing, and making it back to class. And they would like to figure out how to take it to the next level. And I think that's one of the things that NAMM does. And just looking at the camaraderie of the people that you meet, and just getting on the airplane and knowing 10 people on the plane.
It's your people, right? And you need to be here because you're already, you're already.
And one of the things that I think is important is that because of the fact that our students are so interested now on the production side of doing it. I mean, they see what people like J. Cole and Chance the Rapper have done on the, you know, with their music and everything, and they want to be that next person. And because of the fact that a lot of our institutions now have music production or music engineering technology as majors on their campus, it's important that we bring them here, because this seems to be the mecca of networking for that field.
And also the new products are being launched here, the next technology being launched.
Yes.
Or these companies are looking for the individuals that are already really kind of making the next technology. Mm-hmm. That's really, if you know why NAMM created Gen Next, is first we really believe it's the future of music.
Absolutely.
It's sitting in your classrooms today.
Yeah.
You know, their individual creativity, their individual motivations, but the fact that they're all crossover players almost. Mm. I mean, I don't see a college kid now that's really devoted to one instrument.
Am I right? No, you're right. I know, specifically with us.
And they're crossing over to technology, and they're pretty, mm-hmm. I mean, they're all, you know, well, crossover.
You know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, NAMM and how NAMM could be of assistance. And what I was thinking about, you mentioned Chance the Rapper, and the guy that does the music for Chance the Rapper went to Chicago State. His name is Peter. You know, he did all the music for him with one of his producers. And to be able to have the kind of equipment that would have helped him become even better at what he's doing, as opposed to, you know, he spent a couple of years on campus and then basically, you know, went to studios and got involved and, mm-hmm. and kind of did a lot of self-teaching and all of that, that we would like to, you know, hear kind of connect more so that we can have the right equipment on mm-hmm. campuses like ours. Now, you can get that at, you know, the big schools in Chicago, but.
Yeah, well, I want to tell you.
Yeah.
Our, you know, the kind of excitement of our industry relative to wanting to build partners with campuses. So there are incubators where their wonderful technologies can be used and explored and modified and improved. You know, it's a partnership.
One thing that's I would say that's kind of it's a boom that has happened with marching bands in the HBCU community, media teams. And it's like now everybody has a YouTube page, mics are set up to record, cameras are used, certain, you know, it's that technological side. So we
drones are used,
everything.
So media team.
Yeah, media teams are the big thing now for definitely at the HBCU level. And we collaborate a lot of times. We all know each other. So it's kind of like, you know, we ask, how do you do this and do that? But just to come on this side of things, the audiovisual side of it is
event technology.
So it's definitely important, and we're always looking for that next step above what we had before.
And, you know, in the partnership with the industry and companies that are, you know, they represent multi technologies and multiple lines.
Right.
Those companies are. You know, the collaboration with you is what makes their products better.
Right, right.
And their product development better.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's just, I'd say, go start knocking on some doors while you're here at the NAMM show.
Absolutely.
All right? And then let's continue our conversation. We're going to support your spring conference. Not sure who on our team will be there, but we'll be there in some capacity to celebrate with you. And I mean, we're going to do it on air. We're going to do it on, so I'll look at the camera now.
Okay.
Our little pledge, right? Let's make this happen. All right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think the time is right under your leadership to make the HBCU community really come closer to NAMM, and that we bring your precious young people here to the NAMM show. Are we good?
Yes.
Absolutely. Is there a way that I just want to plug in the website?
Absolutely.
So
plug it in.
Visit our website, www.hbcu-nbdc.org. It's a new look, and we're definitely looking to make that look even better and before the convention, after the convention, and in the upcoming years. But we definitely appreciate you all for jumping on board, and we definitely want to make this happen.
Yeah, so I think we need to do like a fist bump kind of thing, right? Okay. Did you want to share something, Roxanne?
No, I was going to say, Thomas Warner is the president. This is his first year as president.
Doing a great job.
And Al Davis is president-elect, and I'm the jazz coordinator, so my responsibility is to make sure jazz happens.
So we got some continuing here, and we're all going to... So let's also come together next year and have another episode, and maybe we'll be surrounded by your students.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I'm so excited. So thank you for joining us for the kickoff of the official HBCU NAMM show collaboration with these wonderful folks from the HBCU Band Directors Consortium. Thank you so much for joining us here at Talking at Music Education at Facebook Live, live from the NAMM show here in Anaheim, California. Thank you for being with us, Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Namm. That's Mary L. N. A. M. M.